Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Will you stand with us, everyone? We're going to go into our scripture reading this morning and get right into the message. And God, I believe God's got something great for us today. How many of you believe that? Romans chapter 8. I think we'll get to a familiar part of that particular scripture, but oh my, okay. I don't know if they're trying to tell me something. I don't know. We're going to pick up at verse 18. The responding verses will be on the screen behind you, the ones that you'll read after I read the opening verse. For I consider the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. For we were saved in this hope, and hope that is not seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know how we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I know you all like this scripture, but it says, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Verse 30 together, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom we have called, he justified. And whom he justified, these also he glorified. Let's pray in the name of Jesus. Come on. Father, in the name of Jesus, today, Lord God, I believe it's not just a challenge, Lord God, but it's an opportunity for me to talk about divine intercession of the Holy Spirit. The times when we don't know how to pray. The times we don't even know how to groan, but oh God, you have a way of getting a hold of us and bringing those things from the inside because of your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray today as this message comes forth, people who had no hope will have hope. People who had no future will now have a future. People who have not known salvation would find it today because of what you've done. And Holy Spirit, we free you today to do your work in this house. And we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and the praise. For we ask these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. Well, although we may not appear to like it, the Holy Spirit is still fulfilling his assignment by Jesus to lead and to guide us into all truth and righteousness. But unfortunately, we have allowed doubt to be fueled by several things: decadence, violence, greed, and total abandonment to anything that would represent the life and the love that Jesus' blood was shed for. On top of that, doubt has caused us to downgrade, now listen to this word, I know some of you don't like words like this, downgrade our theology, and that's our perspective of what we believe about God. Downgrade our theology to match the experience of our perceived reality. Our perception is not the truth. It's just a conclusion we come to based upon what circumstances we're facing. Well, this is how it must be. But I want to tell you today, there's hope that God has for us in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to get in touch with him today, and he's going to tell us what's really going on. First thing I would ask you, are you ready to put God between you and your circumstances by allowing the Holy Spirit to change you forever? Now, I know some people have made temporary changes, you know, until they married her. And all of a sudden, the real him, he came out. You put on your best self. But God wants to change you forever into the person he's always designed to be. How about this? Can you embrace a level of faith that will enable you to believe for that which you thought was impossible? Now, be honest with me. How many of you have some things on your impossible list? Wave your hand at me. It ain't never gonna happen. I know it's just too late now. I'm too old. Well, I want to change your confession. Nothing is impossible with God. You know, Sarah got a message from an angel. Girl was old. He said, "You're going to have a baby." She said, "Mm-mm." And with him? Oh, no. That old man over there? Mm-mm. And the Bible says Sarah laughed. But I don't know the things you've laughed at. God is about to do something that's going to change your laughter into rejoicing, because God's about to do something. How about this? Are you willing to embrace the fear of God and receive freedom from every other fear that has held you hostage? There's only one thing that you should fear. As the Bible says, fear God and keep his commandments. That's according to what Ecclesiastes says. He says, you know, there's one thing, the only thing, he says, just fear God and keep his commandments, and you got it. It'll work out the way that God intends it to. Let me get right into the message. For the Holy Spirit is a divine, listen to this word, tuning fork to bring us into accord with God's plan. Of course, we'll go back to verse 26. It says, unless, likewise, the Spirit always helps our weaknesses. Bible says this, let the weak say I'm strong. But it doesn't mean the fact that you lie to yourself saying I'm strong and you know you're not. But our strength is found in Jesus. Our strength is found in the Word of God. Our strength is found in the fact that we know that there's nothing impossible for him. So going into that, we'll find a couple of things. The enemy desires that we succumb to doubt, fear, and unbelief to destroy any hope or comfort that we might find the Lord. Some of you have eliminated yourself from the possibility of ever serving Jesus. I'm going to tell you why. Because of all the stuff I've done. My behavior. And the selections that I've made to displace God. Some of you believe that cannabis can help you. And now it ain't legal. It's not illegal for you to get it. So honey, on a regular basis, you and Wacky Tobacky have a relationship. But I need to tell you something. There'll be a time when you can't get there. There'll be a time when you try to get high and it won't work. But I'm about to present to you someone who is always there, who can transcend all of your problems. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit is alive in us to remind us of God's constant care and love for us. That's all he does. And I realize that people get depressed and they do some pretty interesting things. Depression will make you do things that are harmful to you, but at that point you're just so depressed you don't care. How about this? Holy Spirit will renew our trust and confidence in God, and we must learn to listen to obey his promptings. Here's something. I'm going to talk to these people over here. I'll be back to you. Ever been prompted to do something and you didn't know why, but it turned out really good? I want to tell you who that was. The Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you folks a question over here. Ever been prompted to do something and it turned out really bad? That was the devil. This is life 101. God wants nothing but good for you. And when you find yourself over and over and over again finding out it just didn't work out, I got news for you. The devil is out to kill you. Well, the truest test of our faith is not our actions, but our reactions. Let me unfold that for you. It goes like this. We must learn to respond with the power of God that is allotted to us through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, here's something interesting. The Bible says it's God's grace and the power of God that leads us to repentance. And some of you believe that you got to clean yourself up before God will talk to you. Paul was on his way to do some mass murder. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of him and knocked him out to the ground. To the point where he didn't have to do the Q&A. Who is this? You know what his cry out was? Who art thou, Lord? Because he knew the only person that could stop him would have to be the Lord. Do you know the Lord has arrested you in your insanity on various occasions and has kept you from killing yourself so we might have this conversation today that you could get it straight with God? Amen. As a believer, we must learn to discern between, this is for you believers, between our thoughts and the moving of the Spirit from within. Because some of your thoughts are crazy. Sister girl, that wasn't God at all. That's just you and your neurotic behavior. Consider this, the Spirit of God will allow us to perform beyond our human capability. Ever done something or said something and you said, where did that come from? I'll tell you where it came from. It didn't come from you. It came from him. And the Holy Spirit has the ability to override some of the things you were planning to do. Amen. It's all working for good. What we are presently experiencing does not compare to the glory which God wishes to reveal through us. And he says that in verse 18, I'm going to back up a little bit. He says, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory with which will be revealed to us. Anybody going through stuff? Wave your hand with Abby. The rest of you lying. Everybody's going through something. But God wants to help you through it. Can I unpack that for you? Perspective is something that we can benefit from if we walk in the power of the Spirit of God. It'll make sense. I know there are times when you thought people were against you and later on you found, oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, I thought they were. God has protected you over a lot of stuff. Suffering is a divine indicator that God is up to something that will make us better equipped as a witness of his grace in our life. Everything you go through, it can go into your arsenal of defense against the enemy of saying, he says, you are trying to kill me with this, but God is going to make me better because of this. And that's how it works. Well, that being the case, I can give you a few more perspectives on this. You know, the glory of God is revealed with us as we allow the Holy Spirit to ride away in everything we do. I love stories and I love things that will bring us into perspective. But unless we are in tune with the Spirit, we will miss some of the greatest opportunities and gifts that God wants to bestow upon us in Romans 8, 13. They'll put that up there for you. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This story, I found it. Actually, I was reading several books, and I found this story. I kind of knew of it, but I kind of got it defined because I wanted to look it up to make sure I got it right. The interesting piece about this is there are many people that are very gifted. And one such person was a young man called Joshua Bell. How many of you know who Joshua Bell is? This thing is trying to act up. Come on, behave. Okay. Joshua Bell is perhaps the most profound violinist of this age. This is what happened. In an experiment initiated by the Washington Post columnist Gene Weingartner, Bell donned a baseball cap and played an incognito busker at the Metro station in El Infante Plaza in Washington, D.C. on January the 12th, 2007. The experiment was videotaped on a hidden camera. You can look up on the internet. And 1,097 people who passed by only seven stopped to listen. Now, I want to put this into perspective for you. Joshua Bell previously had played to a packed house where people paid $200 a piece to listen to him. Joshua Bell, when he's doing his particular performance, he makes $1,000 a minute. He got on a baseball cap, and he's playing for 45 minutes down there, and the total of the amount of money that he made during that period of time was $32.47. Nobody stopped to listen. Did he do anything inappropriate? He played with the excellence and the expertise that he would play in a hall filled with people. Matter of fact, the cost of his violin was $3.5 million. Now, if we told you ahead of time, all y'all would be lying. Oh, I got to hear Joshua. I got to hear him play. Even if you don't like the violin, you got to hear somebody play a $3 million violin. And you got to see somebody that makes $1,000 in a minute. It's all about perspective. Come on. We'll miss some of the greatest thing God has for us because we're so busy thinking we know what we don't know. If we are left to ourselves, we will die. Life will have no purpose or meaning. The Spirit always points us to that which really matters. Now, isn't that amazing? With all those people that went by, only just a few people stopped to really take in something that other people just paid hundreds and hundreds of dollars for. The Holy Spirit wants to bring you to a place where he can say, stop and pause. I want to give you a gift that's irreplaceable. We'll discover things in life that others will miss completely. Our weaknesses and our vulnerability will be obvious without divine intervention. John chapter 15, verse 13. Here's a good one for you. Greater love has no man than this, than a man who laid down his life for his friends. You'll say, well, how does that fit into the equation? Is that God will teach us how to love people beyond our ability. Things that you normally wouldn't even care about, God will give you a desire to really care about. Jesus has made the Holy Spirit available to help us to overcome our inherent weaknesses. The things that you just, I just can't stop. And then there's those who don't want to stop. Because your value system has told you that this is the best it's going to get. And I got something to tell you. That's a lie. So many have been derailed by those thoughts. One of the greatest weaknesses that we have is trying to determine truth from error. And without asking the Holy Spirit, some of the things that you think are true are not. That's right. And some of the things you think are a lie are the truth. The devil has told you God couldn't possibly love you after what you've done. That's a lie. Well, the power of the Spirit will manifest and expose error and deception. And he will give us insight and wisdom that only those who are serving the Lord will have access to. Let me shift gears to the next little phase here. We can access the mind of the Spirit through intercession. Let me help you with that word intercession. Intercession means to intercede or to get involved with things. And Romans chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 kind of gives us a little insight to that. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without the ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Making requests if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. What? He's stressing about coming to some other people to help somebody? Does that make any sense? He says, but God is my witness. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Intercession is a part of you that says, you know, God, I want you to bless them. I want to tell you parents here today, the time that you cannot help your children, you're going to have to go to God, and he's going to have to show you how to help them. Don't you think you got it all together? He's the one that can tell you what they really need. You think you know, God really knows. And so he can tell you how to pray and what you need to do and what you need not to do. Enablement, entitlement, I could go through all this. I could preach a whole sermon on this of people who try to patch their kids up with nonsense. Putting a Band-Aid on the cancer. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with you. Lord help. Well, I'm sorry, I'm back now. Okay. When we pray, it's a direct intent to see change that can come no other way than through the power of the Spirit. There are things that only God can change. Somebody say amen. Amen. They'll tell you, unless God intervenes, it's not going to happen. How about this? When we pray, we appeal for his intervention. We have confidence and realize that his power can overcome any obstacle. You know one of the biggest obstacles to overcome? You. Me? You with your hard-headed, stiff-necked self. Religious, whatever you want to call yourself. Help you, Jesus. We desperately need the spirit of wisdom. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. This will get us all. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And I'm not doing anything. It's just having a fit today. I don't know what the deal is. Okay. That God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. How many of you need wisdom? How many of you need a knowledge of his revelation? Wow. The Holy Spirit gives that to you. Things that you didn't study for. Now, I know some of you are very studious, and some of you don't even remember anything in high school or college. Let me run through it real quickly. Wisdom to make right choices. Wisdom to know when to walk away. I'm just going to stay 5 more minutes. And if it gets really crazy, I'm going home. Just give me 5 more minutes, and I'll be ready to go. Oh, wait. Hold on. Just one more time. That one more time is what will get you. And you don't realize the devil's got his claws in you, and the Holy Spirit's trying to get you out of that mess. Wisdom to know how to persevere in the midst of hard trials. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. I can't remember the particular occasion. It was one of the Ivy League colleges, but Winston Churchill was commissioned to be the keynote speaker at a graduation. And his words, I don't think it was more than five or more sentences. But the actual culmination of his thoughts was this: never give up. Never, 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 never give up. He tipped his hat and he went and sat down. That's what he did. Look it up on the internet. It's on there. But they got it. Because all the education in the world will not help you if you give up. Just when you're about to get a breakthrough, they say, I ain't worth it. And you go off and do something stupid. Did I say that word stupid? Yes, stupid, stupid. You know, I have a video. It's entitled Three Stupid Dogs, and I'll loan it to you. It'll teach you about some of the stuff you know. It's Three Stupid Dogs. It's the funniest video you ever. But these three dogs, they are stupid. So at least you can learn some new tricks, I guess. When we are truly connected with the Lord through intercession, we will receive revelation of things to come. That means our eyes of understanding will be opened. There's a lot of things, if you had known in advance, you wouldn't have done it. Oh, I'm going to walk this line here, and y'all, somebody will save me in the end. Had you known what you knew now, you never would have got involved. You fill in the blank. Could have been with him, could have been with her, could have been with business, could have been a car, could have been a house, could have been any type of thing. But if you knew what you know, never would have happened. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit has the ability to tell you, don't do that. He's in the spiritual, he's in the practical, he's there to make you successful in everything you do. You need to consult him in everything. The Bible says this: the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. We will receive hope for those things that we thought to be a lost cause. We will be able to reclaim our inheritance from the hands of the enemy who has sought to destroy us. I want to need to tell you that the enemy has an assignment on everybody. Oh, he ain't got no assignment on me. I'm going my own way. He ain't going to tell me what to do. That lets me know he's already got you. You're not doing nothing else. He got you. Oh, honey, he got you in his hand. Because you believe that report, oh, you drank the Kool-Aid, baby. You drank the Kool-Aid. We are able to reclaim our inheritance from the hands of the enemy who sought to destroy us. Well, anyway, we will embrace the power of agreement. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. We're getting close. Take heed that you do not despise one of the little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. He says, don't despise the little ones. Sometimes your children can save your life. Mommy, I don't think we should do that. Shut up, boy, get in the car. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. How is it working for you? Agreement in prayer lets us know that there are common struggles and goals. Can I get an amen? Amen. Things that will touch your heart will often touch the heart of others. His will, we desire his will on earth as it is in heaven. I wanted to give you seven things that I believe that if you want to be in concert with God, that we must embrace the things that are on God's heart when we pray. Not just pray random prayers. Number one, we pray for those who have no faith. We are now living in the most godless, faithless culture that has existed since the world began. Before Jay Leno went off the air, he went on the streets of, I think it was New York, it was California. And he just asked simple questions about, you know, people, you know, who was Moses? Or one question, he asked him this simple question. Did Adam and Eve have any children? No, he didn't have no kids. They didn't have no kids. How do you think you got here? No, they didn't have no kids. Stupid. Of course, there was other folks who didn't know who Adam and Eve were. Is that a new band? We're in trouble, folks. But we must agree in prayer for those who have no faith. Number two, those who have fallen away. Because there's a number of people, and some of you are sitting in this room right now, that at one time you believed, but now you don't believe anymore. Could have been something scandalous that happened in the church. Could be your parents got divorced. Could be you went through a divorce. Could be, you know, someone stole something from you because you went through a tragedy. You lost a child. But now it's just, if God's going to treat me that way, I don't believe in God. Do you think God is intimidated by what you don't believe? He is still the ruler of the universe. God has never done anything to hurt you, to harm you, or anything of this nature. But I want to tell you, we need to pray for those who have lost and fallen away. Number three, we need to pray for unity in the churches. Doesn't mean every church has to be alike, but there's only one God. There's only one Jesus Christ. There's only one Holy Spirit. Oh, let me move on. Number four, we need to have a respect for all life. See, you can't fix people before you love them. I don't know. You know, they got all this going on and they doing this and they doing that and they're marrying this and that and whatever and they tattooing from head to toe. I don't know what I can handle that. God didn't ask you what you can handle. God asked you, can you love folks? You got to learn how to love people and love them into the kingdom. Let me move on quickly. Number five, for all the lost, abandoned, and forgotten children. If I put it up on a video today, there wouldn't be a dry eye in this place. Some of the things that I've seen in person that happened in various countries of people who were lost, abandoned, and abused beyond levels I couldn't even begin to express. I don't want to ruin your day. But that's what's on God's heart. Number six, for those who are under the power of addiction, listen to me carefully. Those bound by depression, anxiety, and bitterness. Number seven, for those held prisoner for proclaiming the name of Jesus. So you can go out and say, Jesus, and people say, oh, you're kind of a little different, but that's okay. Try it in some countries, and you're going to jail. Don't try that in North Korea. You're going to jail. Don't try that in some parts of Iran. You are going to jail. After they whip you, and they beat you, and they try to make you forget the name of Jesus. I'm getting real close, so hang with me. I'm going to make a statement here, and if you can buy into this, I believe the rest of this message will segue into your spirit and something miraculous will happen. Prayer is the most potent force known to humanity. What? Prayer? That means we have a weapon that has divine power to destroy strongholds. Things you couldn't get rid of, I believe that the prayer of the faith of those who have come before you, that in the name of Jesus, the devil got to go. So I've been addicted all my life. All your life is up until today, and God, by his power, is able to set you free. We can seek personal transformation from the things that have held us hostage all of our lives. It doesn't take me to lay hands on you. It takes you to say, lay hold of faith that says, God in heaven who rules everything, I surrender my life to you. I ask you to come in and change me. I ask you to come in and forgive me. I give it all up to you. You are the savior of my life, and I accept you in my life. And you know what? You're going to be set free. Yeah. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. That's what God says. And then God says, you can be an intercessor for somebody else. Once you get set free, he says, you know, he did it for me. He can do it for you. Let me take you to the right, the even now prayer. John chapter 11, verse 21 through 22. This is a great portion. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Read that last verse with me, verse 22. But talk about an impossible situation. Lazarus dead, been dead. He'd been dead 3 days, actually the fourth day. And she has the nerve to say, and even now, even though he'd been dead for 4 days, you can do something about it. What's wrong with her? But I believe some of you need to have the even now prayer, because it seemed like it's been so bad that nothing could turn it around. But I tell you what, that God can turn that situation out. Even now he can do it. Whatever you ask of God, he will give you. Let me unpack that in a way that you can understand it. Prayer becomes real when you know you are facing a situation that only God can solve. Okay. Are you ready? How many of you are facing a situation that only God can solve? Raise your hand. Come on. Oh, you like it the way it is? Go ahead. Leave your hand now. I don't care. Well, you like being stupid and crazy? That's okay. It's your choice. What does it mean? We must be willing to move past heartache and disappointment and allow faith to take hold of us. Heartache and disappointment will keep you from asking God for things. We're so brokenhearted. We're so disappointed. We've been disappointed before. People have let us down. We just don't want another disappointment. So you know what we've done? We stop praying. Because I don't want any more disappointment. How about this? Sufferings of this present are nothing in comparison to the joy that will come when God's purposes unfold. Once God comes through you, you say, whoa, forget about all that. I'm going to enjoy the presence of God even now. How about this? We must choose to allow the Holy Spirit to activate our faith beyond what we believe can, that we could ever experience. Now, what about this? The Spirit will help our weaknesses when we don't know how to pray or what to pray. In these last few moments, I'm going to teach you what to pray and how to pray. Verses 26 to 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps with our weaknesses. We do not know what we should pray or how we should pray, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us in groanings which cannot be uttered. Anytime he says this, it's that sigh, it's that groan. He hears every groan. He knows every sigh. You say, what next? Do you know the Holy Spirit heard that? You need to follow up that, oh, what's next thing? God, I turn it over to you. You're the only one who can fix it. You're the author and the perfecter of my faith. I can come in the name of Jesus, and I know you can turn it around. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I feel. I know you're able to do exceedingly above what I can ask, think, or even imagine. That's what you need to do. Well, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Do you realize the Holy Spirit is making intercession for you right now? Some of you sitting in this room right now, the Holy Spirit is making intercession right in you to ward off all the enemies so you can hear the word of God that your life may be able to change. That's how God works. Regardless of what we might think, God hears us. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit is able to interpret the groanings of the Spirit, and he can interpret a sigh of letting go of something that we cannot begin to handle. Wow. He's making intercession for you. He's running interference. He's acting upon the will of God. He's working it out for good. That's what that scripture that we use oftentimes haphazardly, and for we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love the Lord, called according to his purpose. Don't say that flippantly. It's true. Here's the finality of what I need to say. And the worship team, you can come back. We're just about done. We can start our intercession by letting go of the things that will keep us from praying. I want you to listen to me very carefully what I'm going to say about things that will keep you from praying. Number one, repent of everything that you know that would prevent God from hearing your prayer. What does that mean? Many of us know already why God doesn't hear our prayer. One scripture says, and we know that God does not hear a sinner's prayer. Now, what does that mean? It means that people who are just going to keep on sinning have no intention of following God, but they want to get the benefits, but they don't want to follow Jesus. You need to repent from that attitude and say, from this day forward, God, I give up. I'm going to serve you. And it's really just like that. There is no magic formula. I know we have the sinner's prayer, but the sinner's prayer is simply this: I give up. Amen. Jesus, you're the only way. And you know he knows exactly what you mean. Number two, receive God's forgiveness for everything you have done that you know was against his will. Wow. That shouldn't take you long to figure out. Because God gave us something, it's called a conscience. And the Bible says if our heart condemns, our conscience condemns us, God is greater than that. So if you're already feeling bad, and your conscience says you shouldn't do that, God don't have much to do. Number three, believe that you never have to live another day of your life without the peace of knowing he's in control. The days of wondering what's going to happen, the days of trying to figure out what's going to be all about are over with. Thank you, Jesus. You can know God loves you forever. Number four, accept the things you cannot change, believing that God will ultimately work it out for your good because you choose to love him. And number five, embrace the call of God on your life and rejoice that you have purpose that will fill your destiny. Say, what do you mean by call of God on my life? I don't see it where I've got a call of God on my life. I'm just living life the best I know how, and I'm just going to see what happens at the end. One more story for you. It's one of my favorite poems. It kind of revolves around this whole violin story, but it goes like this. It's entitled The Old Violin. It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bid, good people, he cried. Who starts the bidding for me? $1, $1, do I hear two? $2, who makes it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but no. From the back of the room, a gray bearded man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as the angels sing. The music ceased and the auctioneer with a voice that was quiet and low said, now, what am I bid for this old violin? And he held it aloft with its bow. 1,000, 1,000, do I hear two? 2,000, who makes it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, going, gone, said he. The audience cheered, but some of them cried, we just don't understand what changed its worth Swift came the reply, the touch of the master's hand. Now, many a man with a life out of tune, all battered and bruised with hardship, is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going it almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul, the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Bow your heads with me, everybody, everybody, everybody. In these next few moments, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. The one thing I can tell you for sure is you still have the option. You can say no. You can say, leave me alone. You can walk out the door. Nothing can happen. But I tell you what, that'll be the biggest mistake you've ever made, because you'll assume that maybe some other day when I don't have other plans and after I finish the things I have on my agenda, then maybe I'll go to God and I'll have a relationship with him. And I want to tell you, you don't know whether that'll happen. Hold your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to tell you a reality story. I did a service this last Friday for a young lady that grew up in the church that I grew up in. I remember holding her as a baby and this type of thing. And Monday of that last week, I got a call from her mother. She says, you know, my daughter's dying. She's dying of CHPD. And would you come over and talk to her? Because she hasn't accepted Jesus yet. She knows all about it. She's been through church, but she just is struggling with the whole idea. Well, Friday of that week, she had one of her episodes. And this is the absolute truth, so I can give you her name. And within a matter of moments, she was lying on the floor. All the breath was out of her body. Her brother just happened to be there, and he remembered some things he learned in Boy Scouts to revive her. And there just happened to be a nurse there. And that which was once was dead came back to life. And her mother says to her, she says, honey, this isn't a game. You need to give your life to Jesus. And so they led her in a prayer at that particular point, and she, with tears coming down her face, and she audibly was able to speak hope in Jesus. I want to tell you the absolute fact. 3 hours later, she had another episode and she was dead. I did her service last Friday. If you think you've got it figured out, if you think you've got it all lined out of when and how you're going to do this, that's a lie. I'm going to pray. And I want to give an opportunity for every person today that Jesus is talking to make a commitment to follow him. I am totally unashamed, unabashedly ashamed. If you need to make a transition to Jesus, this is the day, this is the time to do it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I curse the devil. I curse the liar who tells people they've got more time than they think, than they really do. And I pray in the name of Jesus that every person in here that does not know you, every person that's fallen away from you, we'll get realigned with you today. If you're here today and you need to make a commitment to Jesus, if you're here today and you need to turn your life over to him, I want you to raise your hand right now. Do it right now in Jesus' name. Do it right now. Lift it up high in Jesus' name. If that's you, do it. Do it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else that says, I need to do that today. 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 In a moment, we'll stand to our feet, and I'll invite you to come to this altar down here. Now, here's another thing. There's nothing intimidating about there. There'll be someone here to pray with you. There'll be someone here to encourage you. There'll be someone here to strengthen you. But this is the day to do it. The day you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. You come. Jesus will do it. He's able to do it. In Jesus' name. Everyone stand to your feet. Those of you who lift your hands, I'm going to wait for you right here. Just come join me right down here. Now, let's pray together. Come, step out right now in Jesus' name. That's right. Step out in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.